David, we met when you volunteered to participate in the Oral History Project, Kansas Stories of the Vietnam War, and you yourself are a Vietnam veteran. How did you become interested in World War One?
World War One, I suppose, goes back to having good history teachers. In high school, Sister Dionysius, a Benedictine nun, and she was a good history teacher because she told stories. And in college in Emporia, Dr. Zimmerman told stories. And somewhere in there, you come across reading, like in Flanders Field, and you have 50,000 Englishmen dying one summer and 75,000 dying the next summer, and you think, how is that possible? How can governments and soldiers be so dedicated to go back year after year and die? And somewhere along the line, you come into the realization that the stuff they teach in high school as history leaves out a lot. And the lot that's left out is most of the grim stuff. And then you come across a poet like Wilfred Owen or Thomas Hardy, the man he killed, and you realize that humanity walks back and forth, that soldiers are us and put in unusual situations. And because I was a veteran then, or became a veteran, I mean, I had this interest before I was drafted. And part of it is that recognition of human beings in an incredibly stressful, dangerous life and death situation.
How did you go about doing the research for this project, The Ghost Soldier?
The research comes across an incredible source with messages and reports and letters, all of which related to World War One. They were all actual reports. And then came the idea of consolidating them into one person telling the story, and I adopted the persona then of a ghost soldier. There are only a few additions to this piece, and one is a section of poetry from Wilfred Owen, and the other one is a line toward the end which relates to my mother and myself when I came back. My mother, the line in the script is, my mother wanted me to be like I had been before the war. All the rest of it is compiled out of actual reports, letters, messages, whatever, composed into one person telling a story.
What kind of parallels did you find between your experience in Vietnam and the experience of your ghost soldier in World War One?
I wouldn't say that there were many parallels, because World War One is a standalone, horrific, incredible, basically slaughter. I mean, the trenches were incredible. The diseases were absolutely disastrous. The one experience, I suppose, that parallels is the officers, and that's the beginning of America's entry into the war, where they send men against machine guns, and the generals aren't the ones going into the barbed wire. The generals are in the back. In Vietnam, it was the majors and the colonels flying well above the ground, the fighting on the ground in helicopters. So that's probably about the only parallel. But to World War One, I mean, there is no, it's a war like no other. Flesh against bullets.
David, what was the most interesting thing you learned about World War One as you were doing the research for this project?
There's a sequence of things. One of the things, which was censorship. There was incredible censorship and the effect of patriotism in America. For example, my last name now ends in M-A-N, but if you go up to the little cemetery in St. Bendick, Kansas, there's Bergmans and Fangmans and Tangmans and Hymans, and I'm sure that those names were shortened in World War One, where it was important not to be German but to be American. Even the flu, which probably started in Haskell County and then moved to Camp Funston, became called the Spanish flu because the Spanish didn't have censorship, and they described this incredible disease that was sweeping the world, and so it became the Spanish flu instead of possibly the Kansas flu. And the censorship just went into all kinds of realms. I mean, there were people who were literally beaten to death because they weren't patriotic enough, or they were suspicious. And, I mean, my ancestors are German. Most of those people many of the people in Nemaha County come out of German descent, and so they had to be American.
One of the greatest treasures of World War I history is right up the road in Kansas City, the National World War I Museum. How much did your research take you there, and what did that lend your research?
I've toured the World War I Museum in Kansas City, and I wouldn't say that it played a part. It just validated, in some ways, the loss. The thing that stuck in my mind more than anything else in a tour of that was a graphic description of the British shipping, all with little red ships, little red ships, little red ships. And the red ships were all ships that had been sunk by the Germans. And your mind goes into the reality, the realism, the understanding that every one of those ships had sailors, and every one of those sailors probably went down with their ship. So it's that grimness. And even later when you walk across the entryway and you see all the poppies, and the poppies represent a specific death, an individual death on a day of the battle. So that's grim stuff.
Do you have any favorite stories within the Ghost Soldier that you think really convey the experience of that soldier?
I think the one where the voice, and that also is a true story, where he's close to a dying soldier, and the dying soldier is calling for water, water, water. And he crawls forward against the advice, not the command, but the advice of his lieutenant, to crawl to a soldier who's dead with a canteen, to crawl back with the danger of snipers, to the dying soldier and giving him a drink of water. And the soldier calls him a good fellow and dies with him holding his head. I think that's probably I wouldn't say favorite doesn't seem the appropriate term, but certainly that's a memorable instance of a subtle heroism that isn't going to be recorded anywhere or receive medals. Because basically it's an act of humanity, one human to another responding, despite the danger of death, to address water, 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 he pleaded.